to help the church today in Isaiah chapter 40. And you'll go there and we'll just, Isaiah 40 and verse 29, we're going to read through 31. And this is just a message I really feel in my spirit to help the church this morning. It's a Sunday morning message. Amen. Because everybody's here. Everybody's here. Isaiah chapter 40. When you get there, just give me a good hearty amen. Isaiah 40 and verse 29 reads this way. He giveth power to the faint. Unto them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Verse 29, I'm going to read that again. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, He increases strength. Amen. I'm going to preach to you this morning on a revival of strength. A revival of strength. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the Holy Ghost. I thank You, Lord, for the foolishness of preaching. And I ask You in the name of Jesus for unction from another world, for anointing, God, that only You can present, Lord, and Lord, past emotion, past human ability, to go down into the core, Lord, where You come down and touch the lips of clay, where You anoint the men of God, where You help us preach, Lord, anoint the ears of this congregation, help us in the name of Jesus. Oh yes, I'll give You glory. Let this altar service be a product of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. If you were to poll the modern day church today and begin to ask them what is the church's greatest need, no doubt the most popular answer that you would get is that the church needs power. They would tell you we need power every day. They would tell you we need power more than anything. They'd say power, power, power. I would even believe that if you were to ask for revival, you could probably even go to the White House and ask President Obama, what would you like to have revival? He'd probably say, yes, I would. But when you begin to put the calisthenics and requirements for revival, you understand a lot of people just simply fall off the boat. Amen. Come on now. A revival of power sounds attractive. It's something all of us desire. I mean, who wouldn't want to see a miracle today? Who wouldn't want to see somebody just miraculously, by the power of God, heal them? To see some of that in that state would be a miraculous thing. We often look for a revival of power, and to be honest with you, a lot of times we get frustrated when in the church we come Sunday after Sunday, we come to midweek service, it seems that we don't see miracles, we don't see demons being cast out, we don't see the manifestations of Pentecost on the experience that we like to see, and oftentimes, even in this church and probably everywhere, there's a certain level of frustration that will get in the heart of the believer, and we want to know where the power of God is. Anybody ever asked that question? Everybody raise a hand. Anybody ever asked that question? All right. Many times I've said, God, where is it? You know, you read Acts chapter 2 and you're like, man! You look and you read through the book of Acts and you're like, how amazing was that? But I want to present to you today, before we can ever have a revival of power, there must first be a revival of strength. Today, many of us would probably say, something's wrong with the music, something's wrong with the singers, there's something wrong, you know, with the preacher, there's something wrong. You know what that is? That's frustration. You're trying to label something. We're often trying to find something, maybe to try to figure out what is wrong, what is going on. But I want to present to you today that the problem is not with the worship, the problem is with the worshiper. I want to present to you today, the problem is not always with the music. A lot of times the problem is with the musician. The problem is not with the song, but maybe with the singer. The problem is not with the ministry, but maybe the minister. The problem is not with the giving, but probably the giver. The problem is not with the preaching, but a lot of times, the problem is the preacher.
Come on, help us, God.
Hear me today. We often are looking for something. We are looking for power, power, power. But how many times have you looked for strength? How many times have you asked God,
the problem today is not so much with things. It's not the problem. There's nothing wrong with this building.
I mean, I know we're in a remodeling project. Don't stop.
There's nothing wrong so much with trying to label all these different things. But the problem is consistency. You see, we often in the modern day church, we lack the consistency of being faithful, of being true, of being religious in different areas. The problem is not so much with this or that, but the problem is this, that we need a revival of strength. I do not want to be one to point my finger at the Holy Ghost and act like He's not doing some right. Hear me. If we're not careful, we look at God and say, Lord, what's wrong? Why are we not seeing revival when there's nothing wrong with Him?
That's right. That's right.
But the problem is, you got it.
Amen.
Problem is with us. The problem is with you and I. Like I said already, we kind of, in ways we lack that consistency. When we look here in Isaiah chapter 40, it says He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. So we can understand this from the text, that power is given. When was it given? Day of Pentecost. Power was given. The Holy Ghost is a gift. Power is a gift. God wants us to operate in power. He has stated that multiple times in Scripture. He told us to tarry in Jerusalem. He wants us to operate in power. But the Bible goes on to say, to them that are weak and have no might, He increaseth strength. Hear me today, friend. Strength is increased by testing, stretching, and trial. Hear me today. Power is for the ministry of Christ. But strength is for the everyday living of Christ. You want to tell you how Peter and all them seen all the miracles? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, for the most part, they were the same. We have split personalities nowadays. We'll come to church and we act one way. We'll come to Sunday morning service, you know, pay our alms, so to speak. Here we are, we're a church, man. I better now, I'm saved, I'm born again. Everything's perfect. We're going to have revival. And then all of a sudden, for the rest of the week, we do what we want. You'll never see the power of God. And to be honest with you, we've got to stop depending on everybody else's prayer life at times. I love when somebody comes to church, testimonies is given, and saying, I was praying the other day, I was reading my Bible, and God dealt with me, God gave me a word, God gave me something in my spirit. You know what that is? That shows us that there's an everyday living of Christ in your life.
Yes, sir.
So friend, the problem is not so much with everything else, the problem is with us. We may say, we often say, like I've already mentioned, Lord, help me do this and help me do that, but what about God? Help me live. Help me be consistent. Did we tell you our faithfulness is so unpopular? Because everybody can do it? We often want to do something nobody else can do. Oftentimes a singer wants to say, look, and it's all right. I'm not saying all of it's bad. I'm the best singer. Now that can't be bad. I know that. But sometimes they're looking for a new song maybe nobody's ever found. Maybe this. But understand this. It's not so much the fact that we need the best singers and all this. We need consistency. Like I've said already, we need God helping us live every day to be consistent. I want to present to you today, before God ever gives us power, we must first show forth strength. Now, be honest with you. I just hope you help. How many wants God to move? How many wants revival? How many wants this? Okay, let's put calisthenics on this now. Let's talk about a little bit of requirements. Understand this. It doesn't always take power to worship. But first, it takes strength. You said, no, I've already proved it this morning. Many times you don't feel like worshiping. Sometimes you don't, be honest with you, there's times I come to the doors, I don't feel like saying, thank you, Jesus. There's times we don't feel that way in our bodies. We are tired and we are weary. But when you raise your hands anyhow, when you learn to praise God in the middle of your circumstances, in the middle of a busy work week, in the middle of family problems, you are showing forth strength. Then God will show you power.
You know how many times I've been to a service and just pushed past it and got ministered to?
Now understand this, it doesn't so much take power to pray at first.
Now don't get holy on me. Step down off the white horse and join me. There's times you don't feel like praying. You know you should, and you do. And you know that as a believer, God always, we know these things, but there's times in your body you are tired, and there's times, am I the only one ever fell asleep praying before? We had a 24-hour prayer meeting years ago at the old church, and I had just got saved, and boy, I was zealous. And the blank spots was always from 1 o'clock in the morning to about 4 the next morning. So I said, Lord, whatever blank, I told the Lord, whatever spot's blank, I'm going to fill it in. Yeah. I slept and slept and woke up and prayed and cramped. I remember I fell asleep on my arms. I got so cramped up in my arms that it was a mess. So understand, you don't always feel like praying. There's times you're weary, but this is the fact. There's times that you get down. You may not feel the power to do it, but you get down and pray, and there you show God, you show for strength, and God will honor you by meeting you there, by answering your prayers. If you show strength, God will show power. Now be honest with me, you don't always feel like reading your Bible. I love the Bible. Man, it's a word I enjoy. I'm a reader. I'm an avid reader. But you have to be honest. Sometimes, if you work a job, many of you do here in this building, you're tired. There's times you're doing it by faith. And you show for strength, and God will show you power. Be honest, a lot of times there's many people, you don't feel power when paying your tithes. Amen? When's the last time you shouted, put one in the offering plate? So some people, you don't always feel the power, but you do these things by strength. You're doing, you're showing forth God. Look, I know what your word says. I live by your word. And even though there's times you go through difficulties, there's times you go through financial troubles, there's times you go through things in your body, you show forth strength, and there God will show you power. Now join me this morning, because I know I ain't the only one. There's been times I didn't have the money, but I paid it anyhow. I remember years ago I was in transition between a job. I didn't have two dimes to rub together. You know the old saying, I didn't really have no money. I didn't have a lot to do extra, but I knew God would lay on my heart, give a 20 in the offering plate. I did it, and it was that same week I had relatives or different ones that would come to me and say, I was praying for you, and I felt like giving this to you.
That's right.
You don't always feel like, you don't feel power always in forgiving. But you do it anyhow. Now, come on now. You let somebody spit venom at you all day and you know you ain't done nothing wrong. And you get down and pray and the Holy Ghost says you need to forgive. And you sit there and say, Lord, I didn't do anything. You still forgive anyhow. You show strength, and God will restore relationships by showing you the power because you showed strength.
Now, I'm going to say this. You don't always feel power when coming to church. Preacher's up here. Sunday, 3 services. What do they think we are?
I hope you're born again.
The Bible speaks, I delight in His Word. I love His counsel. I was glad when they said unto me, there's many times in the Bible you may not feel like going to church. The odds may be against you. You may have a million and one things you feel like you need to do that are deadlines. But I'm telling you, you must show forth strength, and then God will show you power. You may say, Brother Derek, I want God to move in my life. I want God to put this together. I want God to work this out. You must show strength, and God will move.
Now, if you come to church once every now and then and you complain, and every time you come to church, it's everything's falling apart.
No duh. Yeah. Just please don't blame it on my Savior.
Amen.
Please leave Him out of it, please.
Amen.
Don't bring Him into that.
No.
That is flesh. That is you. That is individuals. Maybe not wanting to show forth the effort and the ability. It's amazing. I know a man one time back in the state of confusion. Was North Carolina, we're far from here. Understand, we were there. I went there. He could never come to church. But he was always in Walmart.
Come on.
Amen.
Yeah.
Every time I'm going there, I'm like, what? So we come up with the idea if you put shopping cart handles on the back of the pews. Man, the attendance would be phenomenal. But hear me. It's amazing when you have a potluck or a hot dog supper.
Yes, sir.
The attendance shoots up.
Yeah. That's right.
But the problem is this. We must show forth power and strength, and God will show us power. I cannot look at you today and say, look, you're such a powerful person for coming to church. But I can look at you and say that you are a strong person because you had the self-will, but you had the determination. You got out of bed. You got here. Oh, I appreciate that. That shows strength. And I'm looking for the power of God to meet us. So we need a revival of strength more than anything. We have created a Christianity with no requirements, no sacrifice. If God wants to move, He'll move. A shame. A shame. And the whole of the church is dying from it. You cannot tell me, we read Acts chapter 2, and it's the will of God for us not to move forward. I mean, think about it. Acts chapter 2, Holy Ghost falls, 3,000 saved. Acts chapter 4, 4,000 saved, lame men getting up, angels opening jailhouse doors. What was that? It was an act of power. But you also look and you can also see the lives of the disciples, and they showed us strength. I'm going to present to you today a great example, Jesus Christ. He showed us strength ever before. He showed us power. We always want to talk about the power of Jesus. What about His strength? 40 days in a wilderness. No food. That's not power. Now, come on. You ever fasted?
Yes, sir.
I don't feel real powerful fasting.
No, sir.
And if you do, you're hiding chicken legs somewhere. I don't always feel the most powerful doing that. There have been times I often tell the story kidding around. I went on X amount of days. The Lord had dealt with me to go on a fast. And I was working. And I'm not much for potted meat. But there was a can of potted meat there at work sitting on top of the shelf. And man, it looked good. And I thought, I looked at that thing day after day. I said, Ma, I'm going to eat that thing when it comes time. I hit it! And boy, it was better than prime rib when it came time. But you don't always feel powerful when you're fasting. Jesus here is showing us an act of strength. He is showing us here that He had the strength to go on this. This is not power, but this is strength. And at the end of a 40-day fast, the devil himself comes to Him and says, turn these stones into bread. Now, it didn't take power to say no. You catching this, ain't you?
Yes, sir.
It took strength.
Yes, sir.
Then the devil looks at him. I mean, Jesus, with all this power, he says, throw yourself off this pinnacle. And Jesus said no. It would have been an act of power to do so. But it was an act of strength to resist temptation.
Right.
And then the devil looks at him. He says, bow down and worship me. And then he said no. He was showing us strength. But then the Bible goes on to say this. He's in this temptation. Oftentimes, even you and I, we wait in temptation for God to show up with an S on His chest to do something miraculous. But sometimes, you've got to have the strength simply to say no.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
We often wait for some fireworks to happen.
We wait for this to take place. We wait for that to take place. But understand, Jesus here showed us an act of strength by saying no. He was showing us His strength, but this is the fact that the Bible says this, and it says when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed for a season, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit.
Yes. That's right.
Do this. No. Fast. I'm a fast. I'm a saint. And then the Bible says he returned in the power of the Spirit.
Yes.
We look at Jesus, we focus so much on His power. But what about His strength? When them Pharisees were trying their best to do everything they could, and the natural body would say, zap them. Do this. Destroy them. Even one of the disciples said, won't we call down fire from heaven? But the Lord Jesus Christ said no. He showed a strength not only to say no to temptation, but He showed a strength to do the Father's will. The Garden of Gethsemane. You think that took power? It took strength. You can even hear the warfare and the conflict in His Spirit. And He's saying, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. This was an act of strength. This was an act of Him showing us. And you know what the Bible says? That in the Garden of Gethsemane, after He showed us the strength, He's sweating great drops of blood. It said that angels came and strengthened Him. You may be in that garden today of conflict, trying to figure out what God wants. And it does matter what He wants. There's some things you ain't got to ask Him. The Word says, just do it. For instance, don't pray if it's God's will for you to be a church or not. He wants you here. Don't pray and ask God, is it your will for me not to fornicate? You know that. But there is something. The Lord cares, and His opinion matters in everything you do. You may tell you the problem we have in this world of shattered relationships and shattered families and a shattered society. It is a result of men and women not showing forth a godly strength to make good decisions and to pray through that Garden of Gethsemane and say, Father, not my will but thine. It matters what He thinks. Understand, you think it took power? When He got beat on His back, it was strength. Do you think it took power? When He lifted that cross on His shoulder and began to walk that lonely road, that took strength. He had all ability. He had all power. He even told us there that there's 12 legion of angels that He could have called to His rescue. He could have made that cross light as a feather, but He showed His strength. Jesus Christ said, no man takes life. I'm laying it down. He was saying, you could ask 50 Roman soldiers, and if I did not want them to, they would not nail me to this cross. But He was also saying, because I'm willing, you can take one Roman soldier with a hammer, I'll lay down and let him do it. That is strength. You see, here today, we live in a very selfish society. We don't see ourselves being expended for others as an act of strength. But I promise you, friend, every time you give, every time you're faithful, every time you uplift, ladies, every time you go to a nursing home, every time you're faithful and doing something for the ministry, you're showing God strength and He will show you power. We were in the youth service the other night, Sister Missy. We don't always feel to put forth the effort. But we do it anyhow. But how priceless is it to see young girls weeping, young men weeping underneath the power of the conviction of the Holy Ghost. She shows forth strength and God answers it with power. Hear me today, friend, because everything Jesus did, He was showing us that it was an act of power, an act of strength, and then came the power. Understand this, even when they offered Jesus vinegar there on the cross, He rejected it. He could have numbed the pain.
pain. Some believe there was some sort of medicine in there that could help numb the pain. And one of the sponges they offered to him. But he said no. He showed us strength. He let us know that there would be power. He showed us strength at Calvary. But 3 days later, we've seen power. When every demon in hell didn't want it to happen, there wasn't one of them that could stop it. And when every devil, when everything was orchestrated to destroy him, to keep him down, death could not hold him, the grave could not hold him, he showed us strength and God showed us power by resurrecting him from the grave. You think Pentecost, a 10-day prayer vigil, you think that took power? When you go on a 10-day prayer meeting, you come call me. 10 days praying, looking for the promise. No doubt there was touches. No doubt there was encouragement. No doubt they relied on the words of their Savior. But you know what? It took strength to dwell and pray for 10 different days and seek the will of God and seek the promise. But at the end of 10 days, when the day of Pentecost was for to come, there come a sound from heaven, a rushing mighty wind. They spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. They showed more strength and God showed them power. We're a Pentecostal church. We're a Pentecostal church. I believe in the evidence of the Holy Ghost. And if I didn't, I'd put my suit into Goodwill and lay my Bible on the shelf and go find me a decent job. I believe in it. But I don't want anybody in here to be fooled to think that He's just going to show up by accident. He'll bless you. He'll encourage you. Yes, there's times He uplifts us. There's, of course, there's times we're unworthy of His grace and His mercy and His touch, and He does it. But I promise you, if we're going to make an impact in Hampton, Virginia, if we're going to see young people raised up doing the will of God, we're going to show for strength. We're going to be faithful. I know many of you are. We're going to pray. We're going to fast. We're going to read. And God will answer with power. You understand, fam? Because many times in the Bible we are given the command in Ephesians 6 and 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He says, finally, my brother, be strong. And it's not in a suggestion box. Be strong. Now. Do you realize how much we put in tomorrow? I'll do that tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll pray. Tomorrow I'll fast. Tomorrow, today. I don't have time. No. Be strong now. Some of you already got 40 excuses in a restaurant in mind why you can't be strong this morning. Well, you take that up with God. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You're going through something this morning, be strong. You say, no, I'm waiting for fireworks. You better quit waiting. Just do it. It's an act of strength. The Bible says, be strong in the power of His might. I'm not asking you to be strong in yourself. I'm not asking you to take some fleshly devices and try to come up with a plan. But I'm asking you to look at the God of heaven who has all power, who has all ability. He says, I'm going to be strong because He is. You know how society does it? We always got 20 calisthenics to get to it. Yeah. This is phase one. Next week is phase two. The week after that is phase three. And you know what? You messed up. Start again. How miserable would that be? But I'll be honest with you. There have been many times I've come to the altar and I hadn't done none of the phases. I got down on my face. I was broken. I knew I needed His help. I knew I needed to be strong. And there God imparted it to me. He deposited into me His strength. I stood up and said, where is the devil? Hello. Heard a story one time of a young kid that took the Sunday school lesson seriously. His dad said there was a kid that was beating him up all the time next door. Big bully was beating up this younger kid that went to church. And one day the dad said, I was sitting there in the kitchen and I heard somebody yell out, You come to me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. And they said he looked out there, that little kid was on top of him, swinging at his head, doing everything he could. You know what happened? He understood it. He may have been smaller. He may not have had the strength in his body, but he believed it. He was trying to be strong.
Amen.
Now don't nobody do that out here. You get sued. But hear me. We've got to learn to be strong.
Yeah.
You're here today. I know there's things you go through. You can put it up here out any way you want to. Smile. That's all right. I know that. But I don't care. You can keep the mask on if you want. But be strong.
Put it together. Show the Lord some strength. Show Him power. When the Bible tells us here, understand when the Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know where we run into the problem at? Wait.
See, power is not waiting. Power is instantaneous. But waiting is not no fun. If you don't believe me, go to the ER.
We hate to wait.
I mean, we live in a society that's got it together, you know. You go through McDonald's drive-thru,
you can order two McDoubles, a large tea and a fry, and in just 30 seconds, they put two burgers, put cheese, mustard, ketchup, pickle, wrap it, put it in the bag, cook your fries, get your drink, and they got you out of there. That's fast.
A little longer than 30 seconds, I know.
But this is a fact. We live in a microwave society, you know. Forget the pizza. Give me a Hot Pocket. It's quicker.
I still rather have pizza too, though.
But this is a fact. They that wait upon the Lord. This is the problem. We are often just like Jesus in that 40-day fast. If He was not willing to wait, He would have never seen the miraculous, the power, because He showed us strength to wait. We must learn to wait upon the Lord. That word wait in the Hebrew, this is what it means, verbatim definition. It means to bind together, perhaps by twisting.
Many of us here today need to bind ourselves together with the Lord.
Bind.
You know what you do when you take your Bible and you read it faithfully? Even when you don't always maybe feel it or understand everything, you're binding yourself with His Word.
They that wait upon the Lord. You take that promise that He gave you years ago. You hadn't seen it come to fulfillment, but you're taking it. You're binding yourself together. The power will come.
So hear me today, friend. Now I'm going to move along.
When we look at the story of Samson, when Delilah was seducing Samson into destroying his life and the ministry God had given him, and Delilah said unto Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great power lieth?"
It's not what the Bible says.
The Bible says she looked at him and says, "Tell me wherein your great strength lieth." He was showing power. I mean, he's slinging Philistines up and down the highway. I mean, he's taking a jawbone and 1,000. They're dead. He's lifting up gates. He's slaying lions. That's power. But she knew, and the enemy knows. In order to get the power, they must get the source of your strength.
God's not worried about a little Satan's not worried about a little display of power.
I've seen men that cast out demons fall to adultery in the same few years.
He's not worried about a little bit of display of power.
How foolish would we be in the church to think that the devil is dumb enough just to aim for the power? He's going for our strength. He's going for our consistency. He's going for our fundamentals. He's going for our prayer. He's going for our Bible reading. He's going for your faithfulness. And if you cannot be faithful to church, to reading, to prayer, to fasting, He has your power. And you're rendered useless for the kingdom. Samson's repentance, notice this. And Samson called and said unto the Lord and said, "Oh Lord God, I remember me." I mean, this is probably one of the saddest pictures in the Bible. You have a great man of such strength is standing outside of Delilah's tent with no eyes in his sockets.
Man of God, mighty one of Israel.
But Samson says this, and Samson said, "Lord, O God, remember me, I pray thee."
And guess what he says? "And strengthen me." I don't know what you've done. I probably go, "Lord, tie some eyes back here. I can't see a thing I'm doing." But no. Samson looks up at heaven and says, "Lord, strengthen me."
And the Bible, notice this, because this is important. And Samson said, "Let me die with these Philistines."
Get this. He didn't say, "Let me live." Samson's prayer was, "Lord, strengthen me that I can die." Hear me today. You better hear me straight. Many times we'll come to church and look for a blessing. Not that we can die in Christ, but that we can live to self.
God's not interested in blessing you so you can leave here and do the same thing we've always done. God's not interested in blessing Derek Jones so I can go fishing 3 times a week. God's not interested in you coming to church just when you're heavy-hearted, just when you're discouraged, and say, "God bless me so I can go back and live." But I would that somebody in this room, hear me, would say, "Lord, strengthen me that I can die. That I can do the will of God. That I can see saved women. That I can help the local body. That I can help the church. That I can help the mission. Lord, give me money that I can give to mission work." Wouldn't that be a good prayer? "Lord, do that for me." See, my wife comes to the piano. I want to point out something here that is very important, and I hadn't had a chance to go over all this. Maybe at a later time. But I want you to notice what Samson did. Holly, come to the piano. And I want you to notice what Samson did. When you read and study the life of Samson, he never built an altar. His mom and dad built an altar. And an angel came down and gave him their name. He never built an altar. But the day that Samson died, hear me, he built an altar. And he was a sacrifice. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? It's a living sacrifice." Everyone in this building today, we all have different things we're involved in. We all have jobs, we all have plans. But the only reason we're really here is to be a living sacrifice. That's the only reason you're here. Not only that, but I want you to notice the posture of Samson the day that he died. The Bible says he told a young lad, "Lead me to the pillars." He put his hand on one pillar like this. He put his other hand on the pillar like that. The Bible says that he bowed his head. That's the posture of Calvary. Notice it. Hand. Dropped his head. So the picture here is this, that in order for him to be strengthened, and the reason that he was strengthened, he showed us a picture of the cross, and there the house fell down, and the enemies of God was destroyed. Somebody today, you know what you need to do? You need to get on the cross. You need to die to yourself. The reason most times the individual is not consistent, it's not because they're not a bad person or nothing. It's because they're yet to die to themselves. They still have... You can be a wonderful person here today and do nothing wrong in the eyes of man, but still have so many reservations. That's still self. But when a man can take his life and say, "Father, Let me die. Let me die. I reckon myself dead in Christ. Show that strength. You'll be surprised at the power that'll be evident in your life. I read a story, many of you know, of the Boston Marathon some years ago. If you would stand to your feet, those that are able-bodied. This Boston Marathon. We know the story that close to the finishing line, that a bomb was set off, and if I'm not mistaken, I think it was 3 people that died. Hundreds were injured. Many of them lost legs, limbs, different parts, severely wounded. But I was reading recently of something pretty interesting. That a few months later, however it was, they reset up the Boston Marathon there. And some of those that were originally running in the race and survived, and some of them were wounded, they went back because they wanted to cross the finish line. Now just picture this in your mind. Devastated. Wore out, tired, discouraged. People did, friends hurt, friends losing limbs. But here coming across the finish line, there's some maimed, maybe some just discouraged and depressed people. They still wanted to finish. That took strength. The enemy here today, no doubt many good people in this building. One, I love every single one of you. I promise you that. I could eat a cheeseburger with you and smile any day of the week. Nothing in my heart against any of you. But you have to be honest. There's times you don't feel like going towards the finish line. Discouraged, whatever it is. But I'm asking you, show strength. When Paul was in prison, 2 Timothy being his last letter, about to go to the chopping block, King Nero who died, he was beheaded. Paul showed his strength by taking an ink pen and writing to Timothy, "I've kept the faith. I'm still going. I'm still going." I would today that somebody would simply ask God, give you the strength to go forward. These altars are open this morning. If you would find your place to pray, I know some stand on Sunday mornings, however you prefer, it's up to you. But if you would, those at your pews, those that would like to pray, anybody else? Hallelujah. Ask God to give you strength this morning. Oh God. Many times we seek for power. Many times.